And now, some important words from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, an engagement of services to be offered, and only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
And here he is. Let's get started. A lot of stuff in the news. Many things happening that we want to talk about. Before we get to that, I want to welcome. We are currently on a couple of stations in the local market here in Volusia County. We are on 1380 WELE, and we're also on WROD 1340. But we'd like to welcome a new affiliate, News Talk 1240 WFOY and 1240news.com in St. Augustine. So welcome, listeners, to getting us on those stations. And we have a very interesting show to get to today. I am dying to hear what Mr. Scott Connor has about the markets.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
You love that. I know you do.
I love it.
Well, tell me something to love about the markets.
Nice, another nice easy day today. Dow up 60 points.
That's a day. That's we're going to call that the David Dow. Okay.
Yep. Now the Dow on Tuesday was up about 100 points higher than that.
Okay, that we'll call that a Scott Dow.
Yeah, but sold off.
You
a
like
bit.
Those big moves?
Well, you know they're.
But you know what's going to happen on the other
more,
side.
There's more going on. You know.
Yeah, that's it. So that makes it interesting.
So that's good.
Okay.
So Tuesday's market was driven largely by news out of China. That their economy continues to grow, but the pace of growth in China is slowing. It's slowing at a reasonable rate, though. So what everybody is trying to see is whether or not they're going to have a so-called hard landing. So slower growth is a good thing as long as it doesn't slow too quickly.
It's manageable. It allows their infrastructure and other things to catch up a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, and actually the growth that they announced in their GDP for the fourth quarter was slightly higher than what analysts had expected, so it's
but
showing
still the overall trend is slowing.
It's slowing, but it's really just gradually, gently slowing, which is really what we want to see.
Well, and from I think from in China, from their perspective, I think that the slowing also creates an opportunity for maybe some additional monetary stimulus, like we've done in our country.
Yes,
steps that the Chinese government may take to stimulate, which of course. The stock markets always love government stimulation of lowering interest rates or making money more readily available,
right.
Reducing bank borrowing limits or, about the money they got to have on reserve
right.
versus how much they lend out,
yep.
their reserve limits. And so there is that good news about it being not a hard landing, but it's also the slowing. There's that other side of it. So it's a pretty interesting thing how that's playing out.
Yeah, so that definitely helped the markets this morning. Asian markets were up significantly on that news. There was good news out of Spain overnight. They had a two-year auction for their debt, which had very, very strong demand, cut the yields quite a bit. Closer to home, the New York State Empire Manufacturing Index came out, which is basically a survey in the state of New York that they go out into the manufacturing sector of the marketplace and say, hey, how's everything going? And they had the best reading there they had on that number since April of 2011.
Wow. Well, right in line with the manufacturing is the construction, single-family housing starts jumped up 37%. That's pretty exciting. And Moody's is quoted in the USA Today as predicting that there's going to be about that 37% increase versus falling 9% last year.
Yeah, I think the housing market will reach a bottom at some point this year. For me, the thing that I'm looking at to see the actual signs of a housing recovery are mortgage rates to go up, because that'll show actual demand.
Higher demand.
Yeah, from owner occupants rather than, you know, through people who are purchasing to rent out or something like that.
Well, I know you're also, Scott, always looking, especially in managing our clients' portfolios, you're always looking at the leading indicators as well.
Right.
And the mortgage rates, that would be kind of a lagging indicator because it's reactive to what's happening in the marketplace. One of the leading indicators that's out there right now that's kind of interesting is home builder stocks.
Yeah.
The companies that are building all the homes, there's an S&P 1500 index for home builders, and it is up. This is amazing. It is up 38% since October.
Yeah.
And the market's up 7% for that same period of time. So I think there's definitely some people stepping in and buying those stocks is what perceived to be at a lower price, which indicates better days are ahead. At least it's perceived to be that way. Better days are ahead for home builders.
Yeah, and the home builders' earnings announcements have shown a significant increase in new orders. It hasn't always translated into earnings, but new orders are definitely up. And then also on Tuesday's market, we're really getting heavy into earnings season, particularly with the financials. Citigroup announced earnings before the bell on Tuesday. Not so hot. Wells Fargo also announced earnings before the bell Tuesday. Quite a bit better.
Now, why the divergence?
It's very simple, I think. Wells Fargo has been very conservative in their balance sheet. They have a very, very small bad loans provision on their balance sheet. They're just much, much, much more conservative. They're also a more traditional bank, so they make most of their money from lending, whereas Citi is a little bit more involved in trading.
They're kind of involved
with
everything, right?
Yeah, they sure are.
They're much more of a diversified company.
Yeah, and they also, if we just want to talk strictly about trends, Citi has had, I mean, remember, we're talking about a company that did a reverse split not too long ago.
And they've got a whole bunch of different financial services stuff there. Well, of course, Wells Fargo also does now, too. So.
Yeah, Wells Fargo is a much, much, much tighter operation, and particularly the amount of money that they have to set aside to cover bad loans is significantly lower than Citi. They also run a more efficient operation on the expense side.
You know, I had one other thing I wanted you to ask you to comment on, because I was like, well, that's interesting, and I didn't know what to make of it, and I'll bet you can, is the bulk shipping prices are going down.
Yeah, and the Baltic Dry Index, Dry Shipping Index, was really in vogue a couple of years ago, maybe 8 or 10 years ago. A lot of the big, you know, chief strategists and stuff like that used to always look at the Baltic Dry Shipping Index, and it was seen as an indicator of basically global economic health because they ship iron ore and coal and all that kind of stuff that you need to build countries.
The big stuff.
Yeah, but I think it was given maybe too much credence in the past, so it has kind of moved back into obscurity, but it does give you a real sense of how much stuff is being ordered to move from one country to the next, and shipping prices are way, way, way down.
So that means less is being shipped. So is that reflective of a slowing global economy?
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is what we're seeing in demand from China, just as we have talked about copper and
stuff
like
that. Okay, that makes sense. You know, before I read that, I was like, what is that? You know, the only thing I know about Baltic is that my family, when we play Monopoly, does not want me to own Baltic and Mediterranean because I'm putting houses and condos on it. So
I don't think there's an index for the David ownership of Baltic. But
well, when we come back from our break, I want to talk. This is very interesting. There's a report out about a jobless recovery, and part of the reason for that I want to get into, and we'll discuss that. Stick around.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read will find you clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
They weren't condos. They were hotels on Baltic and Mediterranean.
Oh.
Okay, and they just can't stand it. Drives them. They conspire. The whole family conspires against me, Scott, when we play Monopoly.
Well, I'm sure you're very gentlemanly in your rent collection
process. I am, and I even give them a pass on rent sometimes. But anyway, You know, speaking of, well, there's no segue for this, so I'll just jump into it. Man versus machine. Have you heard about this story? A jobless recovery. You know, part of the big challenge with our economy and trying to get, you know, quote unquote, get Americans back to work, which is what every politician is saying. And I'm going to talk later about some of the disappointments there on both sides of the aisle. But the big challenge is that, you know, technology is one of our biggest innovations, and it's great for productivity. But the flip side of that is, you know, machines do the work of what used to be done by people. And so what's interesting is a lot of what happens with economic development is a lot of it has to do with the behavior you incent. And what I'm talking about is tax policy and government regulation and all those things. So we had in 2011 some special tax write-offs that were in place where a company can accelerate the depreciation, and in many cases they were able to
building infrastructure,
and buying new equipment. Yeah. So if a company, say, was going to, let's say they're a manufacturer, some sort of bottling company, or they're, you know, whatever it is, and they say, well, you know what, we can either hire more people, or we can, you know what, we can buy some new machines and that'll do the work of the people. The incentives were there to not have to write it off over a long period of time, to take all the expenses up front in terms of taxes, which basically makes Uncle Sam a contributor. You know, you put 70 cents down and I'll put the other 30 down is what, the way it works. So it was a very interesting thing because while we're trying to get this recovery, we've got a tax policy that has incented the companies to spend big, which is good. We want them to spend on capital goods and all of that. But the problem is that it competes with labor. Now, it used to be we saw more of a convergence or those things being more in sync, but they have become decoupled, as you like to talk about, Scott. And so it's it always comes back to what type of behavior from companies or consumers are you incenting? So if you say to a company, you can write the whole thing off, well, guess what?
Yeah.
And with interest rates being so low, they can
borrow. Right.
And then after you tax, fancy word here, tax effect, after you adjust for taxes, you might be looking at a borrowing rate that's definitely lower than inflation.
Yeah, so it's creating efficiency, but it's not creating jobs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know the other part of it, and this is a bit of the qualitative part here, from an employment standpoint, if you look at man versus machine, the machines, there's no drama. There's no complaining. There's no human resource. There's no insubordination. There's no calling in sick. There's no – Lisa's laughing at me, our technology expert's laughing at me. But no vacations, no time off, no pay raises, no health insurance, no unemployment taxes, no 401ks. You know, I mean, obviously there are costs and upkeep of machinery, and they're not free. And you have to – you know, they burn something, energy, coal, whatever – but there are incentives. And so part of balancing the whole thing, our whole economy, is we have, you know, labor and we've got capital.
Right.
And so these things sometimes are in competition.
Well, certainly manufacturing has become a much less labor-intensive part of the economy. And the economy has gravitated much, much, much towards technology and service-oriented type of businesses. So I guess the question would be, what type of similar programs can you put into service type of industries to actually create jobs, not to create efficiency that costs jobs?
Well, and what the challenge, of course, is with all of this technology, do you need the guy shoveling the 16 tons of coal a day?
Right.
Or do you need the person, maybe the 90-pound woman, who is pushing the correct buttons to operate the machinery?
Yeah.
You know, so it's really changed a lot of how our economy is the workforce, and there is this huge need, and we've talked about this, and looking at companies that and mutual funds and all the things we invest in for our clients is we look at what are those drivers and what are companies doing and what about retraining. There's this big gap in, you know, people being unemployed versus the types of employees employers are looking for.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of that, you know, I hear a lot of talk even in the financial press now about how, you know, everybody going to college is not necessarily a good thing because we have so many of these skilled craftsman type jobs that we just
that are missing.
We're not able to fulfill them.
There are concerns in some areas I've heard people talk about, and I've read in different places where they're literally concerned about some crafts, the actual skills just literally dying in our country.
Yeah.
Now they may be in another country, but, and I can't give you an example off the top of my head, but you know, they're just these, it takes an apprenticeship and it takes a lot of training, and you've got to do it for decades to get good at it, and it's just disappearing.
Yeah.
You know, I heard the other day about I was talking to one of the radio stations we do work, we have that we're our stations on or our radio shows on. And they talked about the disappearance of engineers.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
And there is this big hole between the younger people and whether they're getting into the radio business as an engineer versus the people that are getting closer to retirement.
Yeah.
So we have a challenge with that in our labor market.
Well, you know, they could put some governmental incentives in there to retrain folks to those lines of work.
Again, you make my point. That's very good, Scott. It's that you incent what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, the American people respond, workers and employers and small businesses, they will respond. If you incent it and you create the incentives that they need, tax policy, you know, we'll get into this a little bit later in the program, but I don't see any strong plan. I'm not seeing any clear path to growth, and we have to grow this country out of where we are.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we come back from our next break, we'll talk a little bit about some ideas I have that I think people will find interesting, because I'm just not hearing a clear path for jobs and growth in our country.
Yeah.
Anything else you got?
No, I'm with you. You know, the last thing I heard was that creating new jobs was going to be a New Year's resolution. Well, that's not good enough.
We're averaging, what, 140,000 jobs a month?
Well, we saw a big spike up last week in the unemployment number. We need to create jobs twice as fast as we're creating them now.
We need to be getting about 300,000, yeah. And it's just not there.
A month, right.
Yeah, it's half of what we need.
Yeah.
So something needs to be done. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about some ideas of how to do that.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional, and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 13 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
All right, well, we're back, and I want to get into – I have an idea, Scott, and I asked Scott to stick around so he can listen to this this thought I have. You know, I'm not seeing any – real strong, and maybe it's premature, maybe it's not, but I'd like to see a jobs plan that is real and not just, you know, some sort of recycled derivation of some other plan that they've done with we've got to create, there's no way that we can raise tax. This is my opinion. Okay. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV. Okay. My opinion is that we can't raise taxes enough and we can't cut spending enough. Because of the obvious challenges that exist with, you know, territorial protective people. No. I'm for shutting down military bases, just not in my district.
Right.
You know, and that's always a game they play, and they fight and for that. But tax policy and the spending, it's a real big challenge. And so I think what we need to see is something more, I don't want to say radical because it'll sound harebrained, but I think we need something innovative.
Yeah.
Because you've got, again, like we talked about in the previous break, we need to see from people, we need to see from our government, our leaders that are elected to get up there and do some good things for us. We need to see them give us some strong leadership and come up with some innovation. You know, and I kind of got on to Warren Buffett in a previous show about his, you know, kind of getting into the whole being political realm of tax policy and taxing the people
yep.
that are making more money and the capitalists. And I got frustrated with that. And I in that show, I said, you know, I think Mr. Buffett needs to take his, which he owns, by the way, Wells Fargo in his
right.
portfolio. So he's no dummy and he's yep. done very well. Third wealthiest man on the planet. Take that business sense and help Washington come up with some sound strategies. Don't need to pick on the millionaires or the people that create jobs. Come up with some business growth strategy. He's done it in his own business,
yeah.
and it wasn't by jacking. He didn't become a 50 billionaire by jacking taxes on the companies he's run or he's invested in. He's done business decisions. We need that kind of thinking. And one of the things that I think we need to look at, there's all these tax loopholes that everybody agrees are there. And I think what we need is a real, true, they always talk about simplifying. We need real simplification. Every time, it's kind of a joke among CPAs. You know, I'm a CPA. That's how I started my career. It's kind of a joke that every time they talk about simplification, they add 1,000 pages to the tax code. That's the simplification. So I think what we need to see is something very straightforward. Now, you know, when Herman Cain was running for in the primaries for the Republican nomination, he came out with his 999 plan. And it was, you know, and everybody's always critical. Oh, it's this. It's all that. But guess what? He put out something that was more than anybody else was putting out.
It was a place to start.
Yeah. And I'm still waiting to hear somebody who's got a real plan. So I have I'm going to throw out my suggestion. And this is just something for people to think about. But what we need are some things like a real simple tax structure that incents people to do stuff. And so I call it first and 10. Okay, for all of our football fans out there, I'm not a big football fan, but I think it's an interesting game. And the analogy obviously is that it's first and it's 10. So what happens is it's 10% tax. Now, maybe 10's not the right number. I don't have the governmental accounting office here in my office to run the numbers and tell me if the actual revenue would work.
Well, it's doing them a lot of good in Washington to have that.
Yeah, they're not getting any use out of it. Right. So maybe I can go borrow it from them for a little while and have the actuaries and accountants run me the numbers. But what I think would make a lot more sense and maybe be just the spark that we need as a country is real simple. Get rid of all the tax deductions, all the tax breaks, all the loopholes. Get rid of personal exemptions, standard deductions, get rid of all of that stuff, the depreciation, get rid of all of it. Okay, it's all gone. And real simple, first and 10. You've got revenue as a corporation of $100 million. You're going to pay first, right off of that $100 million, you're going to pay 10% tax.
Top number.
Top number. Top line number. Top line growth. So if you're a $10 million company, it's $1 million. If you're a person making $100,000, $10,000. You're a person making $10,000. It's $1,000, 10%, first and 10. On whatever you get, dividends, interest, 401k,
capital gain,
IRA withdrawals,
gifts,
inheritance, life insurance, whatever you get, I don't care how you got it, first and 10. Now, that's maybe the number's 12, or maybe it's 8, or maybe it's 15, but part of the frustration, and I mentioned it the other day on the show that, you know, I read where the folks that make Captain Morgan rum are getting this big tax break from the U.S. Virgin Islands. And it's a lot of money. Well, who pays for that?
Somebody else.
It's not a rhetorical question. Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or future generations.
Yeah,
or
somebody's going to pay it.
Yeah, or our great-great-grandkids will. So I think we need that kind of thinking. So, you know, what's the financial planning advice that comes with my preaching a little bit about tax policy? Well, we need to realize that a lot of what we see both on the Republican and the Democrat side, it's a lot of more of the same. You know, I've got a better plan. It's better than the other guys. Well, what is it? Well, more details to follow.
Yeah.
Where are they? How are you going to get the jobs back? How are you going to insource the jobs? What kind of incentives are we going to create? First and 10. Okay. I don't care how you got it. It's 10%. And then this whole, you know, nonsense about, you know, oh, well, you know, the secretary pays more tax than the executive. You know what? Real simple. They both pay 10%.
Yeah.
Or 15% or whatever it is.
I can hear lobbyist money being spent already. As soon as you said insurance proceeds, I thought, oh, here we go.
Well, part of my math, I'll be honest with you, Scott, and I've done work, as you know, on both the investment and the insurance side. I mean, I'm a financial planner that is a true hybrid. We manage money, and that's largely what you do every day is managing the money of our clients for a fee. That's what we do. That's why we have a CFA and you here helping us do that. But we also understand the insurance side and help people with long-term care, annuities, life insurance. And, you know, when I was writing my book, I did research on the life insurance industry. And there's right now there is $19 trillion, 2010 numbers, in life insurance in force.
In policy?
In total death benefit.
Wow.
So
10% of that would feel good.
10% of that is $2 trillion.
Yeah.
Now, that's a number Paul Krugman would love to be able to get. So
yeah.
I'm just saying there's got to be some other ways. And, you know, let's all think about it. They don't know everything up there or they would have it figured out.
Right.
Well, and stick around. When we come back, we'll get to, oh, this is good. We're going to talk about credit myths and how to make smart credit decisions and some warnings. So stick around.
Do you ever think about the effects inflation will have on your retirement savings? Can you remember when gas was just $1 per gallon? Or when you could buy a house for less than what most cars sell for these days? Is it possible to keep pace with inflation and protect a portion of your portfolio from stock market volatility? A registered investment advisor can show you your options. Certified financial planner David Holland and his team of fee-based investment advisors are ready to help. Schedule your free consultation today by calling 888-747-PLAN. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit us at www.davidholland.com.
9 cents. That's it. 9 cents is all it takes to feed a person if you donate wisely. Have you ever been approached on the street or the side of the road by somebody asking for a couple of bucks and thought, where's my money going? Well, when you choose to donate to Halifax Urban Ministries, that same $2 can buy 20 meals and will be used to win the fight against homelessness. I am a proud supporter and I want to encourage you to put your money towards something real. Visit HalifaxUrbanMinistries.org to find out how you can help or call 386-252-0156. 386-252-0156.
With so many financial products and services available today, do you ever wonder what the best income strategy is for your situation? Call Holland Financial to receive a free educational DVD on retirement income strategies. Certified financial planner David Holland discusses some of the income planning strategies used by retirees and baby boomers. The DVD is available free of charge, hassle, or pressure by simply calling 888-747-PLAN. Again, that's 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
Okay, and here is your warning. You know, I'm going to save the discussion of credit cards and debit cards and prepaid cards and all that for another show. I want to talk about something that really caught my eye today in the USA Today, which was the percentage of CFOs anticipating U.S. economic expansion. And this really smacked me right between the eyes. So I want to share it with you. And I could talk for a whole hour about this. I'll do it in minute 30 now. In 2001, 56% of CFOs surveyed, Bank of America did a study, about 600 chief financial officers, and 56% of them in 2011 were expecting a U.S. economic expansion. That number has dropped in 2012 down to 38%. That's a pretty significant drop. So what I want to convey is that, you know, we've been talking the last couple of weeks about some of the positive signs we've seen in the market and in the economy. And those things are all, you know, all true. I'm not editing or going back and saying that's not true, or we erase, forget all that, what I said. What I want to say is that despite that, some of those growth areas, we're still seeing concern, pessimism, some reluctance on the part of the corporations and their CFOs about the economic outlook. And so what that means to me as a financial planner, and what I think it means to a lot of our clients, is that you shouldn't go dumping all your money and say, okay, the market's going to go come back now. We're going to go piling into the market, or I'm not going to worry about, you know, securing my retirement. I'm just going to, you know, keep investing hard in the market. If you're getting closer to retirement, I think we see enough signs that it's really good now to take a more balanced approach, protect your money, have some in the market, some protected and other things. Maybe you have it in bonds, maybe you got CDs, maybe you're looking at annuities for income, but you need to do something besides the market. It may go up, and I hope it does. We've made projections about it going up to 7-8% this year for 2012, but it could certainly pull back, and there are things out there that could mess up and turn over the whole apple cart. So planning is what you got to do. All right. Come back tomorrow and we'll talk some more about the same stuff. And remember, this is so important. You've got to plan and plan ahead. Thanks for being with me.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.